Rav mind if I record?
I'm sure.
Does Rav mind if I record?
I don't mind at all.
Okay. Thank the Rav for taking time to meet with us. So the Chevra has a lot of questions that they prepared.
Very good. So we'll take the questions. The only thing, are there, last year I was in Kim Cavey. Are there those here that were there last time?
Just me and him, just two of us.
Same answers. It'll
be the same question.
So other Rav, let's begin. By all means, sir. You have to speak very loud because I don't hear well. And I may have to, maybe you should come up front so I'll hear you and someone will announce what the question is. Yes, sir.
Is there halachic
Shout at me.
Is there halachic significance to getting a bracha from a gadol?
Halachic
significance? Or is there significance
to
it? Is there a source for it?
The Gemara says, I have a Rishima somewhere among my Svarim. Parai said, Uveirachtem gam oishi. Zot Rashi, hispalu alai. The word bracha is really means a tefillah. The Gemara says in Tainis, Chanin ben Daisa showed him a nes, a poor person, and the bima didn't fit. So he gave a bracha. And the bima, in other words, that the whole ceiling was resting on it, but with nesh it happened. He gave a bracha, and the Gemara calls it bitfilasai. A bracha really means a tefillah, like I'm showing you with Parai. So memela, ki ato shemeya tefillas, right, with the Davar Svada Ashkenaz. There's such a thing as tefillah. And a tefillah is not chezeres reikon. So there has to be significance. So you're saying another gadol? I mean, it makes sense that the more choshev the person is, his tefillah is nana. But it's like asking, is a tefillah nana? That's really what it is. Let's go. Yes.
Is there any issue in using a ring of security doorbell on Shabbos?
Is it?
The ring doorbell on Shabbos, that it's a camera system.
Again, and always, they have cameras, you mean?
Yeah.
Are you allowed to have the camera there?
The camera and also has sensors. It senses if somebody's there. And you probably want that just because.
When you walk in front of it, it activates.
So I do want to tell you this. I once asked Rav Ruderman Zatzal many decades ago. He held it was mutter. That much I could tell you. Actually, it's the same thing. Many people have something where you walk in the street, the light goes, you know, they have a light that goes on. And it's an old shayla, and they say from Pesachim Chafei, loy efshe v'loy kumachavin, they're makel because of that. Taisha says Layevsha means it's a tircha. So Mela, the makel that, you know, it's first of all, it's light anyway. It's just that a light goes on when you go by. And it's Layevsha like a machavan. So Peshkema makel.
And shuls with security cameras also? For shuls to have security cameras?
It's a separate inyan. We know what's going on. So certainly that would be an inyan for shul to have it. I mean, it's a pikuach nefesh thing, and we see it's maishim, b'chol yoyim that there are mishugoyim that go around killing people.
But is the shul allowed to look at the footage after Shabbos? They want to see what Ne'ila looked like, so they.
So what if it's not called maish Shabbos? Why are you ushering it?
Okay.
It's not maish Shabbos.
To see the Rav's drasha.
To see the Rav's drasha.
Yeah.
What are some specific halachos that frum people are generally not nizarin or aware of?
What are specific halachos that frum people
are generally not so aware of that they should be?
The Gemara tells us, miyutim beger, you know, the arayish gezel. The Gemara says the Yetzer of Gezel and Arayish, unfortunately, as a raw of a lot of these things, Shilas come to me. And Avak Lashonara for sure, the Gemara says. The Gemara already answers this. That nature of Bnei Odom hasn't changed. So you have Gezel, you have Arayish, and you have Avak Lashonara.
Over the course of the summer, we've been doing a lot of game.
You're talking quickly. I certainly can't hear.
Over the course of the summer, we've been doing the Geirus sugyas in Yevamos, in the Mems.
The sugi of Geirus.
Yeah, in the Mems, in Yevamos.
In the what?
The Mems.
Yeah.
In Yevamos.
Only the Mems.
In Yevamos.
Oh,
yeah.
In the yeah.
Does the Rav have any good Geirus shilas or stories that he has that would just be interesting?
If you gave me time to prepare, maybe I would think. But I've had many, many cases with, you know, I've had stories, not so much with the Geirus, but which incidentally is the Maishim B'chol Yoim. That you have people, what's the halacha by Geirus, conservative reform Geirus. These are big shilas, and there are many chidushim lalacha in these cases. But what's the other way around, that it's a Rashi in Tehillim, in Kapitel Pezayin, Oz Yisper B'Kshayv Amim, and it's not really a Rashi, it's really a Medrash, at the end of Tehillim, where Rashi says, and it's Medrash, that in Achris HaYomim, Goyim are going to bring Jews that have no idea that they're Jews, which means for thousands of years, there won't be Cheskes Jews, and it's going to be, I guess, with Ruach HaKodesh, that there'll be a Birur, and the Goyim are going to say, Zeyulat Shom Sela, meaning, this is a Jew. That Nachra Shayomim, there'll be people that, whoever dreamt they're Jews. And the biggest Chiddush is, Gam HaKoyanim V'Alviyim, which means in Nachra Shayomim, they're going to be Koyhanim and Leviyim, people who didn't even know they were Jews, and they're going to be identified as Kohanim and Leviim. And mind you, a Kohen, if he marries a Grusha, the offspring is not a Kohen. If he marries a Shiksa, the offspring's a Goy. Which means Hashgacha is going to make it that a Kohen, who doesn't even know he's Jewish, is going to marry a woman that's going to be Ruya Lakuna, Keseda, for thousands of years. That's a big chiddush, no? That in Achor Sayyamim there will be identified Kohanim, it's going to be Alpina Vu, you understand? Because Alpi Alocha, they're lost. Alpi Alocha. They're Mugzik for Goyim. How does he become a Goyim? But that's the Ravusa. And I have many stories where I know someone very close. And the son went Latabas Ra. The son went Latabas Ra and married a Goya. So they had nothing to do except for Erev Rosh Hashanah, they used to call for Segut Yom Tov. They didn't want to have anything to do with it. And one Rosh Hashanah, his wife, that came from a little county, you know, off Roanoke, Virginia, farmland, not in Roanoke, the city, mentioned, you know, we know we're partly Indian, American Indian, and we're partly Jewish. What? Again, so she said, her aunt was the official historian of the county, and so she knows the whole Yichus. My mother's 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 mother was Jewish, so we're partly Jewish as far as she's concerned. What? That means you're Jewish. So they made us see the Kiddush. That's something. And then around that Kufa, there were cases where someone called me that a woman wanted to go to shul. She's married to a guy, but she wants to go to shul, chveis, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. There were many cases where people, women, in our neighborhoods became friends with frumma women, and before, and they were married to goyim, and they started to keep kosher, they wanted to keep taras hamishpacha. They were friends. And they said, but I'm Jewish. You know, it's before you know, these people, I hold up the halacha, you don't, if anyone knows, they don't let her go to the mikveh. Because that's showing that you can do what you're doing and you're going to the mikveh. So that's wrong. Because it's telling her, you're married to a guy and you're going to the mikveh, what are you doing? That's another halacha. But besides that, Jews show up all over the place. And that's Achres Hayyamim. So I remember it was at Kufa where it kept happening. I forgot what you mean.
Sure, I'm a Cain. Sure, I'm a Cain.
Oh, yeah. I must tell you a very interesting story. Maisha Shahaya, I was told to interview some people because he claimed, I'm trying to remember exactly how it went, he claimed that he's a Kohen, and I should interview, I interviewed him, and does anyone here know there was a book, Roots, many years ago, written by a black? They found out later, he won prizes. They found out later it was totally plagiarized because he won prizes, and they assured that he took, the book was plagiarized. But it was something that everyone spoke about, to go back to someone's roots. So this was the case where the person claimed that he's a Kohen. I'm trying to remember exactly. When I interviewed him, he said that his uncle would know. His uncle would know. When he was bar mitzvah, so my name is Cohen, but I'm not a Cohen, because when my parents came to America, the people who sat in Ellis Island were bullies, and you didn't start up with them because they could send you back to Russia. So so what they did as bullies, they did a fair Italian. Your name's Santini, and that's the way they wrote down your name, and that's because that was their pleasure, bullying people. So they gave you the name. My real name is Kitagorotsky. From the Ukraine, Cohen. The name became Cohen, but I'm not a Cohen, so I write it with a kuf. But that's how we became Cohen. And this was their derech. So this person claimed that his uncle, he was bar mitzvah. They didn't know anything. He says his uncle, who ate morning Pesach, Yom Kippur in the morning, he ate Talfus, his Zayda. But he's a Kohen, his name's Cohen. So they gave him the Aliyah, Cohen. And down the road, there was a whole, I think they were becoming frum. They were becoming frum, and the question was, what is he? What? So I said to him, what, you know, he has an uncle, and his uncle would know, an uncle, a great uncle. that great uncle was married to a non-Jewish woman. So you can understand, like, you know, with the yichus of the family. So I said to him, you know what we'll do, since there's this book Roots, and everyone was talking about it, I'm going to call, you call your uncle if I could talk to him, because I want to, you want to know your roots. So that would be the reason why I'm calling him up. He called his uncle, and his uncle said, gladly, he'll gladly talk to me. So I call up the uncle, and I start to talk to him about, talking to him about, you know, the roots and this and that. And I ask him, would you know if you're a Kohen? So he says, Rabbi, I don't go to funerals. He married a Shiksen. I don't go to funerals because I'm a Kohen. He betrayed, besides being a Kohen, he's a Litvak too. He's a Kohen, right? So that's what I, you know, that's where we reached that Madrega, that he doesn't go to funerals because he's a Kohen. But of course, you know, to rely on that for yichus is very, very schwach. Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal held la halacha, which was a boon for all what we call the Balei Tshuva, because there were many Balei Tshuva that had some sort of a mesira that they're kohanim. And when it came to a shidduch, if he's a kohen, he can't marry a woman that was intimate with a guy. She's a shuvah lakuna. Rav Moshe holds that anyone who's a Baal Tshuva, where his antecedents weren't shomer Torah mitzvahs, doesn't have a din kohen, and he can marry a grusha. L'alach l'maish, it's in the tshuvas. I think Chelek Dalet and Ebenezer. That was Rav Moshe Shita. And so a lot of people who are Balei Tshuva didn't have problems marrying, even though they had some sort of a Messiah. But since there was a Hefsek, that's why what it says, what I told you, it says in the Medrash, that they're going to be identified. It's going to be a new halach of identification, if you know what I mean. It's going to be like a Leo is made. It's not going to be in according to Rav Moshe. They're going to be worse than Balei Tshuva. They're muzik to be osa. I remember years ago, a woman called me, and it's very interesting. Somehow she had a feeling for Yiddishkeit. Usually there's someone they meet that's mashpia on them. She had a feeling, and she converted. And now she met someone, she converted, and met someone, met a Kohen, whatever it is. A Kohen is not allowed to marry a Geiris. Oh, Machlekes, what kind of din it is. The Reise, the Havonim, but, and, so the door's closed. But she started to research her roots. And before she knew it, first of all, she researched her mother's family. Her mother came from Sweden. It is known that there are 4 Batei Kvaris in Sweden that you didn't have. And before she knew it, she was in a Beis HaKvaris in Sweden. Her mother came from Sweden, and her mother's 10 generations. Her name was something, Malka Hirsch, was her mother's, you know, 10 generations. And she was able to trace everything that she's Jewish, her mother's Jewish. But a woman that marries a Kohen, it's a machlekes rishonim, if that offspring could marry a kohen. According to Shulchan Aruch, can't marry a kohen. So she started to research her father's family. and she asked a great aunt, is my father Jewish? So that great aunt became totally discombobulated. Like, you know, like, so she saw right away she hit pay dirt. She said, but don't tell anybody. In other words, his mother was Jewish. His mother claimed she's Episcopalian because she married an Episcopalian. Her father was Episcopalian, who was an anti-Semite. So the mother didn't exactly want to disclose that she's Jewish. In other words, what she traced is that her father's Jewish and her mother's Jewish. You see, here's a story of Maisha Shahayim that, you see, it was in the making. Gama Kayanim Valavim. So, in other words, she's not even a Geyayrus. So I told her then to go to a Besdin because, you know, to show the documents and everything. But here you have a very interesting story, and there are many such stories. Many such stories of people, they start to look into things. Of course, you have what we call the Anusim. There's a whole thing with the Anusim, what the halach is. The Anusim, I don't like to call the Spanish word for the Anusim, or what?
Maranos.
Huh?
Maranos.
You know what Marana means? Pig. The Spanish called these Jews that were Anusim, Maranos, but Marano in Spanish means pigs. So I don't like to use the Spanish word for them. But there was a whole Dian in Paiskim. A lot of them, as soon as they were able to go back to Yiddishkeit, they did. And you have people ad hayom in certain areas that have the Cyrus. You know, they don't know why, but Friday night, it's already Shabbos. They go downstairs to the cellar and light candles, which the Anusim did, not to show that they didn't. They hid, they went downstairs, and they lit candles, the covered Shabbos. So it became, after a while, the Shabbos itself. They used to go to the basement, because that's our tradition. So they go to the basement and they light candles. But you have people who have that tradition. So there are all kinds of Shabbos. What's their din? Do we accept them as Yidden? Do we make Geirish? Ad HaYoim in Eretz Yisrael, with the, what they call the Falashis, the black Jews, that come from Ethiopia. So there's Stiris in the Tshuva of the Radvaz. The Radvaz says we have a Messiah, that they're from Sheva Don, and they're all Yidden. All these Maranos from Ethiopia. There's a Chashash Mamzerus, because that they give a get if there was a Geirishim. So there are different Shuvas, whether you matter them or not. And in Eretz Yisrael, they went through a whole, there was a whole to do that many of them don't want to go. They don't want to be Magaya, B'Shem Ofenat. We're Jews. So with the Rabbanut, there's a whole to do with politics and everything else, that a lot of them don't want to be Magaya, because our tradition is good and we're not going to go according to what these rabbis want. So it's problematic. Within the marriage, it's problematic. But here you have a tradition of people who claim we always were Jews. We're always Jews.
But Moshe held that they're not Neman. These, the people that it's because of Nemonis he held, right?
Rav Moshe didn't mean, I don't know if he meant Nemonis. He held if it's not a Mishoira from a Yid, not Nemonis. Automatically, Yosh Kain. It's not even a suffix.
On that case, I think he told you that even though he said his uncle is, he said, I'm a Kain. Rav Moshe, the Nusach was that Rav Moshe said he has no Nemonis. I mean, but it's not the word
I don't know.
Yet.
I'm not sure if it's Nemonis. Or if it's that's the din that you need Messiah. I'm not sure how to understand. But he has a tshuva. There's a tshuva Zamosha Simon Chelik Ravi Evanesa. So you can find, maybe it's Simon Chavdalad even, I don't remember. But Ramesha told us to me on the phone that he was Mata many, many such Kohanim, so to speak. He says a lot of Yidden came to America and it was prestigious to say I'm a Kohen. So they said I'm a Kohen, but they're no Messiah. This is the way he presented it to me. And he said, and by some, you can make five shleim for pidyon haben. What's shlech? Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky told the story Zatzal. So when he first came to America, there was a position in Seattle. I'm going to Seattle then 3 days by train. So they had to stop off. They stopped off on the way to Seattle. He told this story. And they came to a shul, and it was a pidyon haben. And the pidyon haben, and then they're making a mishaberich. The Persian said, Halevi. Whatever, or maybe even whatever, Halevi. So Rabbi Yankov went over. If you're a Levi, you don't make a pidyon haben. So the guy said, you guys think you have a beard, you know everything. This is my fifth pidyon haben. Same wife. You understand? Rabbi Yankov told it over. I'm doing it five times and you tell me, you know, what do you know? You don't know anything. He told it over. It was very cute. I did it five times and you're telling me no. So in any event, it's a cute story. But you have these stories of the tremendous samaratzes. And because of the tremendous samaratzes, things are lost in this thing. Yes?
What does the Rav think about certain takanos that Chazal made that were metakin by Chazal that were rooted in, you know, whatever it is, science of the time, but to nowadays we no longer know that to be true? For example, let's say fish being a sakana. For instance?
Fish and meat being a sakana.
Right, Chazal or metakin.
How do you know that fish and meat are not a sakana? Tell me where science has discovered it. Do you know that the science is discovering? First of all, you know what the sakana is. Tzoras. It says in Chazal, tzoras. Not the person dies. And do you know, I have a whole sefer, which I'm asking Art Scroll to translate into English. Torah v'chachmas chitzonius. And it's many pages. And it shows hundreds of cases that the Torah knew, Chazal knew, and science just discovered it 60, 70 years ago. And you know how many pages I have? This is not my discovery. Who made the lightning rod? Anyone here know? Every single encyclopedia in the world. Benjamin Franklin. You know that? With the story of Benjamin Franklin. It's a Beferish Tosefta in the end of the seventh Perek in Shabbos. The Farish. But it's not only that. I have hundreds of cases. When you say science is now discovering that what a person eats has a lot to do with many things. For instance, there's a certain area where over the world, this is an old discovery, decades, that people had less cancer, stomach cancer, than the rest of the world. And they discovered, because there's a tremendous amount of knobel. What is knobel?
Garlic.
What?
Garlic.
Shum.
Garlic. That's why all of a sudden garlic became a health food. Do you know that? Because they ate a tremendous amount of garlic, and for some reason there was no stomach cancer. How, why, what? These are facts. So the person's diet has a lot to do with the person's overall health. And it's a fairly recent discovery by science. Chazal, you have it all over the place. I'm telling you, but you have facts, one after the other. Things that they used to make fun of in Chazal, and about 70 years ago, hey, you know, it's true. Unashir things. I hope they'll translate it soon so you'll read it. But I'm just telling you, there's a sefer, HaTorah v'Chachmas Chitzonius. And you have to understand the chutzpah of what we call science. Ask a scientist a certain question that he doesn't have the answer. So he'll say, well, science doesn't have the answer yet. Right? But he has a right to ask every Orthodox Jew, how do you reconcile kach v'kach? And if you can't answer, you're wrong. Why can't I, Orthodox Jew, say, I don't have the answer yet? But I have to have the answer. I challenge science. How did Chazal and the Torah, and I have hundreds of cases, how did they know it way before there was this thing called science? They don't have an answer to that. Do you know there's a called the Yale Judaica series? Have you ever heard of it? They translated the Rambam many, many years ago. One of the greatest enigmas. You know, there are people that have a solar year, and there are people who have a lunar year. Ancient people, Ruba de Ruba, a new moon. So 12 times is a year. The Babylonians had it. The Rambam says we have a solar year, but lunar months. That's the Lashon HaRambam. Let me start with Akasha. A steer in the Ramah. The Ramah paskins that if a bar mitzvah, by a bar mitzvah, if a boy, it's in Siman Nuneh, you'll check yourself. If a boy is born in Adar and he's getting bar mitzvah, there are two others. When is he bar mitzvah? So the Ramah says, Adar Sheni. Okay. In Hilchos Yahrzeit, in fasting, whatever, Tov Kuf Shamaches, I think it is. You could check it out. A person has Yahrzeit. His father was Nefter Adar, one Adar. But when he has Yahrzeit, there are two others. Right? When is his Yahrzeit? Says the Ramah, Adarishan. He suggests to keep both others anyway, whatever. But the Yikka, the Yahrzeit, isn't it a stira? It's really not a stira because of the Lashon HaRambam. Father was Nifter Yud Gimel Adar. So when Adarishan comes, it's Yud Gimel Adar. So he has Yahrzeit. A bar mitzvah, he was born Yud Gimel Adar. But a bar mitzvah is 13 years. So it's not months. And how do we reconcile the solar year is 365 and a quarter. The lunar year, 12 months, is 354 and a third. So there's a discrepancy. But we go, the years go with the sun. So how do we make, if we were only went with the months, Pesach can come out in the middle of the winter. And the Torah says it's Chodesh Ha'aviv. So I have to reconcile. So if a bar mitzvah is 13 years in a day, I have to take Adar Sheni in consideration. So his bar mitzvah is Adar Sheni. Because you need 13 years. Here, your sight, Yud Gimel Adar, Yud Gimel Adar. That's the answer to the question. But you have to know in the Yale Judaica series, Kulay Goyim Chalainim in the Hagdama, you know we have a Messiah. What means from one new moon to the other new moon? It's a Gemara. What is it? 29 and a half days and 793 over 1080. Yeah, the fraction. Pretty good. Why 1080? Remind me. Why 1080? Which is an interesting thing. Why do we divide the hour into 1,080 parts? Tatzraf, we call it. Why? We'll get to it. Don't let me forget. But they write in the El Judaica series, there were many ethnic groups that kept the lunar months. But nobody but the Jews knew the exact, and it's to the second. Not only that, according to science, we lose a few seconds over the years. How did the Jews know this? So they don't understand. Now, the answer to it, according to the Rambam, Kiddush HaChodesh, the Rambam says, either Cheshbon, either we do it Alpi Riyu or Alpi Cheshbon, and it's Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. So according to the Rambam, the Torah says, you know how we knew it? God told us. It's Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. And he knows, right? According to others, Hillel HaShani was a mathematical genius, and we know through the ages that the Jews were above everyone in mathematics. So a mathematical genius figured it out. But the Jews knew it. They don't know how. They don't know why. It's by them as big Sarachian. But as the Gemara says, Said Hashem Li Reyev. So, of course, we knew a lot of things that the Goyim didn't know. I once said, 1080, why do we divide an hour into 1080? The Rambam says, because 1080 is the most divisible number. I think every number but 7 goes into 1080, so it's easier to work with. Many, many years ago, I wrote Tefillah for the Encyclopedia Talmudic. So I looked at everywhere where I could find Tefillah. I looked in the Siddur Eitzra Tefillahs. At that time, I was reading a popular book on medicine at that time. And it corroborated. How much is an Omer? From here to here, whatever it is, it's something to go into. It's not in your Nenu. But it's physical. Today, if I buy yards from Saskatchewan, how do I know the guy is giving me, I measure it. He claims he sent me 25 yards. How do I know? So all the nations got together, and somewhere, I think in Paris, there's a yardstick, an international yardstick. So if it meets that, we made up that's a yard. We made up, and if I can show that measure he sent me is not the same amount, I have a case against him. Because everyone was maskim, this is what a yard is supposed to be. We, you Jews, have all kinds of measurements, and there is not one measurement that there's not machleiksen. Anything in Yiddishkeit is full of machleiksen, halachim. So there's a whole to do with amma. But it's a physical thing. Tefach is physical. Time is also physical. It says there that when a person is young, he breathes much quicker. But when he reaches the age of about 20, which according to Chazal, or the Marisha was created like a 20-year-old. Einai moicha v'nichsei oviv at shihei ben eshrem. The chiyav of nisim v'dei shemayim. 20. 20 is when the person is whole, complete. When you hit that age, the average breathing is 60 times a minute. I'm sorry, 18 times a minute. Multiply 60 minutes by 18, 1080. In other words, this is also a measurement. So it's also in the Metzius. It's not an arbitrary measurement. So 1080 is how much an average person breathes. The air? So it's all physical. Versteitzich, you have to have an average person. So that makes things difficult. What's called average, the same thing with armor, with everything. That was my discovery. That breathing is also in the Teva. So that's why we divide it that way, because it's a Zman, it's a Shir. It's a Shir. speaking of Omar, incidentally, so here in Camp Monk, I'm going back many, many years, probably over 60 years. And I shared with the island, with my share then, a difficulty that I knew many had. In Chazal, we find, it's really a sugya in Erevin, the Mizbeach, it says in the Pasuk, the Mizbeach was built, one Amma, another Amma, five Ammas, one Amma, you know, and the Kronos, Amma, Amma, but it makes it clear in the Pasuk, Amma, Amma v'toifach, meaning there's a five Tvachim Amma and a six Tvachim Amma. What's going on here? So why do you name both of them Amma? Why are you mevalvelos? Give it another name. You hear? It's a good kasha. It's not only my kasha. It's fair. Amma bas chomitzva, and there's a tana that holds in the Beis Hamikdash. Amma's habinyan is six. Amos HaKalim is five, for whatever reason. We'll soon see. Pnimis. So, I had an idea. I tell my carpenter at the time of Chazal, build me a table. How big is you want the table to be? 10 Amos. Don't forget, he's going to charge me for the wood and for the labor. 10 amos. So he measures 10 amos. Again, you need beinonis. There was a famous machlekes, the Rivash and Tashbats. They were contemporaries. So they had a big fight, how big an amma was. I don't remember who was who. One was very short, one was very tall. So then it hit one of them, I think, where each one of us, the reason we're fighting is because each one of us is measuring by his own amma, and that's why we have this fight. So that's another problem. You need beinonis. Where do you get a beinonis from? That's not our problem. Chazal cope with it. That's why we add another half an etzbach in order to be sure, whatever it is. But we have a problem. So I claimed, that's what I thought, and I sent my whole shear out to with ropes to measure. I claim this middle finger is called an amma, because that's how you measure the amma. So there's an outside amma and an inside amma. And I claim that it's 5-6 by everybody. That's where the tefach makes the difference. And it was Eishkal. They went around measuring everybody in camp, and it was Eishkal. It made sense. Then another idea hit me. My daughters were very young then, so because it's a boys' camp, everyone in the staff would send their children to a girls' camp. So I told my daughter, who was a little kid then, go over to all the counselors that are about 18 years old and measure from here to here. And I decided that the sixth Tvachim Amma is Keneged Ish, and the five Tvachim Amma is Keneged Isha. And when it says in Chumash, and nobody says this pshat, who is the big giant in Chumash? Oig, right? And it says his cradle was what, 30 amos ba'amas ish. Nobody says this pshat. It means the am of six tvachim is amas ish. Got it? And the Mishbeach was a mixture. You know why? The Rambam even brings it in the beginning of Beis HaBchira. Because the soil from which Adam and the Isha were created was from under the Mizbeach. So the Mizbeach reflects Amasisha and Amasisha. But that's Pshat and Chumash, and nobody says this. That his cradle was Ba'amas Ish, because the Am of an Ish is the biggest Am. Go ahead.
Does Rebbe have any advice for making sure that one doesn't go on autopilot in tefillah? Help tips for tefillah, for davening, to make sure...
To make sure you keep focus in davening. Is there any etza?
The Goyen said, daven from a shidduch. The Goyen said, to daven from a shidduch is an etza. It's an etza, it doesn't guarantee, but it's an etza.
How are we supposed to balance the idea of benefiting from the physical world that Hashem gave us, and then also staying away from the physical world and working on our spirituality?
Precious. How much precious should a person have from...
That's an individual thing. Everyone, k'shem she'en parzufein shavas, kach ein deyasein shavas, Reb Tzadik HaKoyim Elublin, has a beautiful ad-lib to that Maimah Chazal. Ki loma lo shnayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need two of a kind. Which means each and every person is an equation which is not doima to anybody else. So there's no, mold that you have to fit into. It's your neshama, it's your cherished neshama, how you think, what you think. So you have to work out things among yourself according to your madrega and according to your yetzahara, if you please. B'chol avavcha, everyone has his way. So of course, as like in everything, there are machleksin in everything. So there are those that want to mold the yeshivas. This is what they hold entails. You're a soldier, and everyone bivashachas gets up by tilos l'kel elyon like soldiers. Whoop! Everyone, unison. It's a discipline, and everyone does things in the same way. And I guess there is room for you to have self-expression, but they hold that's the way to be mechanach. And then you have those that hold like free for all. No. But you have machleksin in chinuch. What's the bit? Like all machleksin you have in darkei avayda.
If I'm at a Shabbos table and the person making kiddush for everyone is looking up at the Shabbos table as he's making kiddush, and as he's making this kiddush, he sees at the table a woman that's not dressed nias with erva exposed, and he's supposed to be motzi me with his bracha. After he makes the kiddush and the cup of grape juice is on its way to me, what should I do? Am I motzi the kiddush? Am I not? Should I make my own kiddush? But I don't want to embarrass him.
I didn't follow at all. What is it?
If someone is saying kiddush and there is an improperly dressed woman at the table, are all the people yotzei the kiddush?
The din is yes, of course. Not only that, I must tell you, there's an Aruch HaShulchan. He says, Bava Nashenu Arabim, with hair covering. He goes with hair covering. But there's a Rav Yoh, better than his Mokr is a Rav Yoh, a Rishon. The Gemara in Brachas says, Koil bi Yisha'erva, Shoik bi Yisha'erva, right? Says the Rav Yoh, that in a place where women are even go begilui shaykh, it's not an erva, because it no longer is maybe lidehira, because it's regilus. So memele bezman hazeh, that you should have a shayla according to the Rav Yoh, is not a shayla, because he says even shaykh. You know what I mean? So it's not a problem in halacha. According to him, many people turn away, but according to the Rav Yoh, and it is said that the Aruch HaShulchan really went with the Rav Yoh. He didn't want to go, because he knew that he's going against what a lot of people would try in Adayim. The Shriers try on him. But that's really based on the Rav Yoh. So today it's not a Shaila anymore, because the way preachers is going around, you can't even call it preachers. Because the whole Indian is it's maybe they hear or it's not. Because it's regivus. That's the answer to your question. Someone, you know, we'll rebound it. Someone will have it with translation.
Someone finished Shmona Esrei and the Tzibur is up to Aleinu, but you haven't said Tachnun yet. Do you say Aleinu with the Tzibur, or you say Tachnun by yourself? Do you skip Tachnun?
It's a good question. I'll tell you why it's a good question. The Rishonim, notice what we do by Tachnun. Right? We go like this, and the Dina de Gemara, you had that they fell on, you know, Shtachavoya. That we know. We paskin that Elim Kainenek Yeshua Benun, we don't do it. But that was one way. Then we sit up, right? And then we stand up. Vanachnu Loineda. I think what I'm telling you is an Avud Raham. So it really goes with Shemin Esra. Shemin Esra is Bamida. And that, I'll tell you right. And then we, what do? We go this way, yeshiva, and then we stand up. Vanachna Laineda. I'm doing all different oifanim of bakasha. Vanachna Laineda manasa. Meaning, because I did all these different things, and because of this, the Peshkim say that the Iker Din of Tachnun is it follows Shemin Esra. The Gemara says when they put Rabbi Eliezer in Chayrim, so, you know, so it was a whole to-do that his wife was the sister of one of the Machrimim, and she didn't let him say Tachnun. And one time she was busy and he said Tachnun and her brother was Nifter. So the Peshkin was trying to, what do you mean she didn't let him say Tachnun? She saw to it that he was Mafzik after Shemin Esra. So Mela, if he was Mafzik, there's no Tachnun. Because the Inyan of Tachnun, that's why I'm explaining why your Shaila is an excellent Shaila. So even though normally Elena was said in unison to show, you know, the union of Emuna together, but one shouldn't be mafsik by Tachnun, because the Ikka Yisoid of Tachnun hemshich of Shemin Esra. So it's a good shaila. It could be that really should say Tachnun first because of these Rishonim.
What should a person do? Daven with try to catch up to Kedusha with the Tzibor? Or should he daven longer for his own Shemona Esrei and Tamar Kavana?
If a person davens a long Shemona Esrei and he always misses Kedusha, should he adjust the length of his Shemona Esrei, even though it's going to be less Kavana?
I really don't have a good answer. They talk about it, but I don't have a good answer because the Gemara says that if a person knows he'll miss Kedusha, he should wait. Smicha's goal of tefillah. In other words, and we don't do that. We daven. So I really don't have a good answer for you. The pashta suppression should daven and be oblivious. The yukka should daven with kavana. The pashtas. But I'm not on good ground, because what do I do with that gemara? So I'm telling you what I think is the practical thing to do. But I have to cope with a Gemara. Yes?
I think last question, is it? Yeah?
Yeah? 5-6 minutes more still.
Okay, so depending on the answer.
What does Rebbe think about shortening one's Kavana during Birchos Kriyat Shema to make sure that one starts Shemona Esrei with the Tzibor? versus slowing down during Kriyat Shema and having more come out of there, and then perhaps falling behind the Tzibor for Shemona Esrei?
Not hearing.
Similar question, but davening, saying Kriyat Shema more quickly so you could start Shemona Esrei with the Tzibor, or being very medactic in Kriyat Shema?
Well, Lamaisha, again, a kavan is the most important thing. I feel that just do everything but kavana, without, even though there are lechatchivas with the tzibur. But lemaisha, you got a good question. Lemaisha. Yes.
There are a lot of very expensive brands that people who don't want to pay for those brands, so they'll get these fake ones, but they look exactly the same as the regular expensive brands. So would that be mutter? Would that be, you know, an issue of maybe Gnevas Das, or if it's usher?
When you're speaking of brands, what do you mean, food or
no, like expensive
clothing? A fake Rolex to buy
purse, an expensive bracelet, or and it looks like the real brand, but it's not. It's totally fake. It's like $5.
So you're asking, is that objectionable?
Yeah.
In Midos, it certainly is. You know, the Rebbe Rabbinim for Pshischa once said, "Leisainu isha samisha yizdin." So what's the Pnimashul Sadin? Not to fool yourself. I mean, what do you want to say? I want you to think I'm very wealthy, right? And Midos, that, you know, in other words, I really don't buy it. In time, they're both the same. But I have a fake thing which says I'm wealthy, that I can afford it. In Midos, it smells to high heaven.
Is it a violation?
That's why the Bali Musa call it Kovod Hamaduma. You think it's covered, you know. There's a famous story of the person who was looking for the wealthy man in town, the Parnes. Do you know where he lives? And every time he asks someone, they started to cuss him out. They hated him. Until he finally reached the guy. So he says to him, Shmerl, what do you need this for? So he says, covered is nothing by you. You understand? Covered I'm a duma. I mean, so who are you kidding? I mean, what's the point?
Why is it that it's viewed, I think, as a sign of kovod or yira to refer to someone in the third person? Like, we rebbeim say Rebbe, but we refer to Hashem as in the second person, as Atah.
Excellent question. You know the answer? You know, there's a famous joke. Someone asked a Jew, why do you Jews always answer a question with a question? So the guy said, do we? Now, I'm going to answer your question with a question. In the whole davening, I have svarim on davening. In the whole davening, it doesn't even make sense. Because open up anything, any tefillah. You know what noichach is, you know what nister is, second and third person. Any siddur in any place, you, he, you're talking to Hashem. And it's like a cholent. It's not even a pattern. You, he, you. You know what I mean? There's no pattern. And the whole davening is that way. All over in davening. So that's the question. You know what the answer is? We are bonim to Hashem, and we're avodim to Hashem. In fact, that was Rav Akiva's thing when he said, Avinu, Malkeinu, because we have a dual relationship to Hashem. A ben, and this I have some sefer, many rayas, a ben doesn't talk to his father in third person. So all over when we say you, we're banim. And when we say he, we're avadim. And Baruch Atah Hashem Neichach. And all of a sudden we go into third person. Almost every bracha. Right? Because we have this. Rishayim give you other turitzim too. But that's what it's all about. And that's very potent when we underline in Shemoneh Esrei too. In fact, the Torah says, Hashiveinu Ovinu L'Sarasecha, Bekorvenu Malkenu Lavad Yisrach. In other words, we keep on telling Hashem, Tvila is Avoida Shevalev. So if it's Avoida, that's why we keep feet together. In Yerushalmi, there are two Makairis. One is because that's the way Malachim are, Psukim and Yeshaya. And one man Yom says Kekayanim. Because they're both cases of Avoda. A Malach is supposed to be in the Shemayim, an Oivet Hashem, and the Kayanim is an Oivet Hashem. So there's a certain stance. That's why we stand by Shemin Esther, because of that aspect. You got to stand. Ezu Avoida she believe. It's Avoida. But at the same time, we're Bonim. And the Torah says this thing. So we have this dual relationship, which is very potent, like I told you. Rav Akiva, by saying Avinu Malkeinu, rain came right away. Why? Because he pointed it out. We're both. And that's why Neichich Nister, that's the answer. But that's really like a tzapella, the way, open up any siddur anywhere, and it's like a mishmash. One thing, you know, there's no pattern. Anything you daven, just open it up. Yes.
I want to thank the Rav so much for taking the time to meet
my
with us.
Pleasure.
Today, such as the chus for us.
My pleasure. When are we? Are we davening mincha or anything like that? Are we?
It's too early, Rav.
All right.
Too early for mincha.
My pleasure. Please.
Giving Rav Aryeh a call. I meant to get this.